Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Welcome to Global from Asia number 100. 100 shows under the belt now. And I am recording this just before I fly to America. So when you're listening to this, I will be in the United States of America with my wife and kid for the first time with miles to see the U.S. Pretty wild. So hopefully I've gotten over the shell shock when you're listening to this, as I'm pretty nervous, I guess, is the thing, traveling together with the family. So also, to celebrate this 100 shows, our design team made a great image of all 100 episode images into one cool file. If you want to check it out, it's on globalfromasia.com/episode100. You can share it with your friends and colleagues on social media or an email or however you'd like. It's kind of got different sizes for Instagram and everything else. And we have an iTunes review. Perfect timing for episode number 100. It's been almost a couple of months since the last one, so let's read it out. It is from September 1st, 5 stars from Sean Cunningham. He says, awesome, best business podcast for entrepreneurs in China. And he says, I stumbled across the Global from Asia podcast by accident almost a year ago now, and I'm glad I did. I've listened to every episode since and have gained a huge amount of knowledge in the process. Michael provides an authentic and insightful view of business in China and Hong Kong, particularly those within an entrepreneurial space, and his range of guests he interviews are always fascinating, bringing with them a fresh perspective on what can be a very complex region. So, thank you, Sean. And I know we were tweeting back and forth at the RISE conference, and really unfortunate we didn't get to connect there. So, I'm really happy you're listening and caught up with all these shows. So I will try to keep this momentum going and sharing like always. And to celebrate the 100 shows, I typed on the airplane. Well, I will type on 100 show blog post wrap up for you guys to read after I land. I'll post it. If you're curious to learn some of the things I've learned and other things, I'm going to give some highlights after this show. So if you want to listen after our interview, you can hear some of the highlights. Okay, now back to business. Even though it's 100 shows, we're still going to have a normal interview. We have Anna Wong and Constantine Spantangos with their new venture, World Leader, talking about the college intern scene in Hong Kong, getting more entrepreneurial and warming up to startups. So let's listen in. Okay, guys, welcome to Global from Asia. We just worked out some technical issues, but I think we're going to have a smooth sail from here. We're here in Hong Kong, and I finally get to meet the Anna Wong and her business partner, Constantine. So maybe you guys can quickly introduce yourselves.
Hello, I'm thanks, Mike, for inviting us. I'm Anna.
Hello, Mike. My name is Constantine, and thank you very much for having us here today.
Sure. So today we were just prepping a little bit. We're going to talk about, you know, recruiting in Hong Kong, a little bit more specifically for college graduates, startup scene, entrepreneurs, which I think is actually matching our listeners. I think a lot of listeners are smaller businesses and entrepreneurs. So I think it will be an interesting topic. I'm really excited. And so maybe a little bit about your business and how you guys work together.
Okay, I can talk about, actually now I'm running a platform with Constantine, and we are helping the student and young people to get their internship from the startup. Yeah, so it's kind of the from local to global level.
So we have identified that there is an increased need for global mobility, and there's a huge interest of people moving to cities, countries, or continents to find the right job. And then there are employers who are willing to go further to look for people with the right talent. So we want to facilitate this through our platform.
Really cool. Yeah, like Anna and I were chatting before about the topic, and the word global mobility is a new one for me. So basically, I from the word, it sounds like people working anywhere in the world.
Yeah, true. And I have to say, like, actually 70% of the business leader, they are traveling around the world for work or business. So like my previous company, like the management level directors, they travel every month for work. So I have to say, in the future, we expect more and more people or young people, they were traveling for their work or work abroad, study abroad. Yeah.
And I would say, judging from myself, that's basically exactly what I have done. I mean, I'm from Greece originally. I lived for a few years in London, then for a bit in France, and now I came to the other side of the world in Hong Kong, and I see that that's really an increased trend, and I see so many people doing it, and even more people being really interested in doing it nowadays. So
yeah, I have to say, like, it's very interesting. I talked to a friend from London, and she told me that quite a lot of the young people, they couldn't find a job in Europe or in London. So they have strong interest moving to Asia or having a job here.
Cool. I think it's also Asia is so exciting too, right? I think it's a mix maybe of the economy as well as...
Exactly. So I think even for some people who can find a job in their countries, actually, still there'd be very interesting to work somewhere else. It's like the whole experience, and it depends how adventurous you are. If you're adventurous, you would really like to live for some years in some other part of the world, which you could only see on TV before. I think it's exciting.
Yeah, I love traveling. I would love to work abroad.
So yeah, I mean, I love coming out here. I've been here for a while, and Constantine, you've been here a few years now. And I have a long-term plan to be in Asia. So maybe, I know we don't maybe want to go into like numbers, but I do want to talk about some of the trends that you might notice from what you see, like what kind of industries are usually popular here for people?
I think technology is getting popular here. For me, I would like to build a more online business, a platform for connecting people, and rather than offline business, because the rents here in Hong Kong is really expensive. Yeah, so we have to move on to online platform.
Exactly, I would agree with that. Traditionally, Hong Kong was always like a financial hub, right? There's so many like big banks and everything in trading, but now this is actually the new trend: IT, apps, computer, online things. And also, like, a big trend is entrepreneurship, I would say. I see that the whole region, like the government, is trying to push towards this direction. Even though we have many huge companies in Hong Kong, they still try to push people toward the direction of making their own company. There's so many benefits for that.
On the show, we've had some episodes where we had like InvestHK and the Science Park and Cyberport. So there's definitely a lot. And it's even more like, even just in 2015, there's been even more like announcements about government support here for technology innovation.
Since 2009, I mean, I just read this recently. Since 2009, there's like a 300% growth of the entrepreneurship ecosystem in Hong Kong. So it's like, it's huge.
And then I know it's so hard to give salaries, but I think a lot of listeners, well, there's maybe the people that want to maybe find a job, but I'm more thinking about the business owner, the entrepreneur, and they maybe want to hire somebody here, like a developer. Are you comfortable to give some ranges or?
Yeah, and actually there are different channels to hire someone. Like you can ask your friend for referral, and you also can get online, and there are some of the job recruitment sites that you can find people, or you can use LinkedIn or so there's a channel you can work on. But for us, like our platform is we mainly focus on student and college, so you can find the fresh or top talents from our platform. Yeah, so we not just focus on local. We have like students from mainland China, Singapore, or commission. We have some from other countries like London, Silicon Valley.
Yeah, I think students is a very good target for the startups, because okay, they have a lot of talent, but also in the beginning they're willing to work for less, right? That's true. I mean, sometimes you can get students to do something for you for free. It's like an internship, because it's great for them as well for experience. But for some time, of course, the salary that you'll pay them, if you want to pay them salary, will be less than what you give to the experienced professionals. But students also have the interest to work for startups. Most of them, they will prefer to work in a startup because they think that the environment is more friendly there. Their boss will be probably somebody young. So the thing is like less pressure and more creative to work in a startup as opposed to a huge multinational company.
I think even the Hong Kong government, I think, is supporting companies hiring students by giving some reimbursements. Yeah. Do you know about that? Or I don't want to.
Actually, like the universities, they are happy to work to partner with some companies, startups, or organizations to offer internship or volunteer programs for the local students.
That's why there are career fairs and recruitment talks all the time in the university. And especially in the university that I'm in, it's Hong Kong University of Science and Technology. They really try to push people in entrepreneurship. There's even an entrepreneurship center that tries to get students together to get ideas and see how they can communicate with startups and all this kind of thing to make things easier for them.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we don't know about exactly on today's show, but I think like Cyberport and Hong Kong Science Park, I think if you get into those programs, they will like pay, I think, half the salary or something for the students.
The thing is like the demand and supply. Yeah, there is not many like job offering from the Science Park or Cyberport. Yeah, so mainly I had an intern experience from Science Park, and I worked as like kind of the PR department. I have to say, like, it's totally different from working for the startups. And quite a lot of the students nowadays, they prefer working in a startup environment rather than a corporate environment. So it's like in a corporate environment, you have to follow the procedure, and maybe you have to start small, like do a lot of the admin jobs. But in a startup environment, you can get into the team and do the brainstorming with them. It's really interesting to the young people.
So I think this is interesting. Like, what are ways to attract this? So you gave some examples just now, but maybe we focus on that. How to attract the good talent, especially in students or interns, to work for you?
I have to be honest, like quite a lot of startups, they are, it's not easy for them to get the talents or get to hire the people to work for them because, you know, they start from ground zero. Yeah. And so the first step is they have to build a credibility, and they also have to like, it will be more secure or stable, like for the student, if they have some funding from investor, and they will feel more, and they have some long term relationship in the future and can work for them in the future. So I think financial security and also the credibility of the startup itself is quite important.
Also, I think from what I see, I think is for a startup, it's not that difficult now to attract students. Mostly, the students will come to you. Because, okay, there are many things. To start with, many students want later to do their own startup. That's their dream. So they say, first, I can work in a startup and learn from the others to see how it works. And then I can do it myself. And then it's, you know, they have like role models. Everybody's looking at Jack Ma in Hong Kong or like, you know, Steve Jobs before in America. So it's like, these guys are the big heroes now. So the students are easily inspired by those people and they want to do something like that. So I think it's really easy to attract students. It's not a problem. If you start an event and say entrepreneurship, you will easily attract students, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
So maybe a strategy, if you're trying to find good talent, is to organize your own event for tech programmers to come to and to learn about your company or...
Yeah, true. Like, so we got plan to help the startup to promote, to do some promotion. Like, we have kind of the entrepreneurship party or party with startups. So we invite quite a lot of startups to give a speech and share your stories. And we also invite some investor and to join our party. And we bring together the students so the student can see, okay, what you are doing, your successful story, your product, your service. And it's kind of the way for you to build an employer branding and marketing.
So we're going to have this very soon, actually. It's going to be like a normal party with music and food, but also with amazing networking. We will have like the startup founders to share with the students their experience. It's also a good way for them to promote their business. And then, of course, all the students will be interested to come and meet these people and hear and see what kind of opportunities they can have for themselves.
Interesting. Maybe I'll try to come. That'd be cool.
You're more than welcome.
Awesome. So I feel like, I want to talk more maybe about Hong Kong specifically. I know you've been mentioning that entrepreneurship is picking up. Is there any like cultural things we should know about these new hires? Like, what should the company prepare if maybe they're fresh from Europe or the US and maybe starting a company here and hiring? What, it's not on my list of questions, but maybe just some general ideas.
I think their step one is of course they have to chat more the government policies and or get some resources from the government. They are InvestHK, Start Me Up, or SansPort. They provide quite a lot of the resources from the funding, mentorship, and co-working space, so that you can approach them to get the resources. And next is, I think, the business model, and you have to know the market, like your target audience, how do you get the business and open the market channel, the sales channel.
Yeah, so basically to know the policies of the government and the market, I don't think there's any problem with anything, any cultural barrier. I mean, as a foreign person here, I'm not aware of any cultural barrier that you can meet if you want to open your business here. It's a very international place, and local people are very friendly towards the foreigners. So I think everything is fine there.
Cool. So I guess maybe what I was thinking is, are they more shy? You know, I think is that even maybe I'm just maybe it's mainland China is different, but. Sometimes it's the students are more shy or the new hires or maybe they're not here.
Okay.
Or am I wrong?
I think part of, but there's still quite a large number of the students. They are quite ambitious. They have vision, they have passion for startups.
Yeah. True, yeah. I mean, in my uni, I see first or second year students that already have started something. Like they're really, really enthusiastic and extremely ambitious. So, You are right. I mean, many of them can be shy, but at the same time, they have this passion that pushes them forward to go out and do things.
That's really cool. Yeah, because I've noticed more shyness sometimes in just maybe not Hong Kong specifically, but Asia compared to the West. And I try to make them more less to make a mistake, I think. I think they're shy, maybe not in Hong Kong, but... Sometimes an Asian culture is more afraid to fail or afraid to make a mistake.
I would say Chinese normally they are quite conservative, traditional. They try to keep quiet sometimes in front of the crowd. Yeah.
Yeah.
My feeling is they're maybe more conservative than Westerners for sure. Shy, but I think when it comes to business they get really ambitious and they really want to get things done. So when it comes to business, they become very dynamic.
Yeah, you can see they well prepare their homework. They could get grade from their exams. So when into business or workplace, they're quite strong, I have to say.
Cool. So maybe we break down internships from full-time. So how do internships work in Hong Kong? Or is there a structure for interns or...
And we offer internship 3 months to 1 year, depending on the schedule of the student. Yeah, and some students, they may have gap year, and so they will work longer for the startups.
Yeah, and it's advised that every student should have one internship every summer for his or her 3 or 4 years.
Okay.
In college. So everybody tries to do something every summer, basically. And sometimes during the winter break, which is 1 month in January.
And I'm sure some people are wondering, is it paid or is it I know maybe we won't say a specific number, but it would be a paid internship.
It depends. I mean, both are happening. It depends on the specific deal that you can make.
Yeah. So right now, our platform is kind of the membership basis. So we let the student register a member and start, they can post their job on our platform. So we don't really get involved in the hiring process. So just let the startup and the student to negotiate the offering. So it's really... the transparency is really high, so we don't really get involved in your recruitment, and we let you to talk to the startup and the student, and we have a chat, instant chat function on our website.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we bring them in, we get them exposed, we put them in the network, and then it's up to the startups and the students to make their own negotiation between them. We're not involved there.
So let's think of a startup moving to Hong Kong or getting started, and they're looking to attract talent. Let's not get into like the government setup and a company setup, but just generally, like, what's one thing that a listener today could maybe do to get started?
Maybe to use our platform. this would be a good start, I think.
And I have to say, okay, for the competitor, they charge, it's really quite expensive for the job posting. But right now, we don't charge for the job posting. You can see like LinkedIn, if you want to post a job, you have to become the premium client and you have to upgrade and pay them, a few thousand per month. And for other job posting, it's around $1,000 per job. So I have to say, like, we offer very user friendly. And just a nice interactive and one and self-serve platform. Yeah.
Cool. All right. And then so I think that's all I have. Is there anything else you'd want to add, or I think we're good, right? So how can people reach out to you guys and your, maybe just repeat the website? So
maybe I put the link on your website.
Yeah, we'll link it up on the show notes too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
And then, yeah, we'll link all your information on the show notes.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you.
All right, great.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So that's a wrap. Thank you, Anna, for coming on the show, and Constantine. It was a fun interview, and we did it live in the studio we're testing out in Kowloon District of Hong Kong. Maybe we can do more in-person shows there for the future. Her venture is very early stage, currently called World Leader as a trade name, and it's going to help connect college interns with top companies in Hong Kong. So we'll link up on the show notes as the website is developed and confirmed. So this show, we have lots of images. We took pictures in the studio, and Anna gave me some collage of her Entrepreneur Women's Club meetup pictures, and we also have her professional photo and also this infographic for the 100 shows. So many pictures, not as normal in these podcasts, so definitely check it out. And as I discussed, I wanted to share some of the highlights of what I learned from podcasting really quick, kind of brainstorming before I write this blog post on the airplane. But, you know, I've been blogging, you know, kind of like randomly on my own personal blog and different business blogs over the years since 2007. Well, maybe actually earlier for my e-commerce business. But this is the first podcast, and it's a little bit shy to go audio. But I guess I like mostly the routine and the focus. So it's kind of kept me in check for every Tuesday morning to get a show online. I know I've reduced it every other Tuesday now, but it's because of the traveling coming up. But, you know, I like it. And also it's kind of forced me to create more systems and processes because I'm doing like a million different other things at the same time. And, you know, I want to just thank a couple of people on the team, Boban in Serbia, doing an audio editing, Tim Joseph, Jean and Mindy in the Philippines. Actually, Mindy's in Florida now. So just been a great team helping me out, and many others. Also, you guys listening, it's been really fun. I think one of the biggest benefits is meeting some listeners and these great people to interview. It's really helped, you know, expand my network, and I just love international business and learning new things. I've learned tons also here, you know, and there's going to be a couple new initiatives coming up for the Global From Asia community. We have the TV videos on the new podcast feed, as well as some webinars coming up for different topics. So stay tuned. It's a little bit too early to go into details, but I am totally loving Global From Asia community, and I look forward to being with you for the next 100 shows. Till next time, take care. Bye-bye.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.